Christ is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He's able to guard what I have entrusted. So there has been an act of entrusting on the part of the Apostle Paul.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, obviously we can look to the Apostle Paul to get some idea of what he entrusted into Christ's hands. So what does that mean for us? What are we to entrust into Christ's hands?
Well, that list is very, very long indeed. I mean, we're talking about your health. What relates to your own physical condition?
Yeah.
You may need to trust that into the hands of Jesus Christ today. What about your family? What about your ministry? What about the way in which your gifts will be used? What about God's providence for your future life and what the next chapter holds? All of these things are to be trusted into the hands of the Lord. And of course, ultimately, what a Christian does is we trust our whole eternity into the hands of Christ. But here's the challenge. We seem to find it easier to trust our whole eternity into the hands of Christ than to trust the more immediate things that we're facing. So today's message is going to be a challenge. What do you need to trust into the hands of Jesus Christ today? Well, Paul's giving us an example and we're going to run an inventory. Let's do some trusting of Jesus as we get into the Word of God today.
Well, we're going to get into 2 Timothy chapter 1. Join us there as we begin a message called Final Security. Here is Pastor Colin.
The Apostle Paul found himself in desperate circumstances. He was in prison. He knew that before long he would be put to death in Rome. His young assistant, Timothy, was inclined to panic. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy to establish him in the faith and to encourage him in the Lord. And we've seen in these past weeks that in verses 8 to 11, the thrust of Paul's message to Timothy is simply this: Timothy, whatever happens, remember you are a saved person in Jesus Christ. He saved us. And Timothy, whatever happens, remember this: you are called to a holy life. That is what you must pursue in every circumstance, whatever. And Timothy, remember this, that whatever happens, your eternal destiny is in the presence of Jesus Christ, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we've tried to picture Paul's situation, described by William Hendrickson as being incarcerated in some dismal underground dungeon with a hole in the ceiling for light and air. And if you can try and imagine the apostle in this desperate circumstance, you would think that he might be saying, you know, where is God in all of this? You would think that he might be saying, I just can't understand why God allows these things to happen in my life. But that is not what he is saying. Instead, what we find in chapter 1 and verse 12 is that he's saying, Timothy, I want you to know that I am not ashamed for this reason. I know whom I have believed. You remember that reminded us that Christian faith is focused on a person, Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, not what or when. I know whom I have believed. And it reminds us that a Christian has a living relationship with this person, Jesus Christ. I know him. I know whom I have believed. And we have confidence in this person. I know whom I have believed. I trust him. And my security doesn't rest in the greatness of my faith, because my faith may not be very great at all. But it does rest on the greatness of the one in whom I have put my trust. I know him. I know whom I have believed. And so Paul is telling his nervous friend that he is finding strength in the supreme competence of Jesus Christ, and that this is how the apostle is able to live with confidence in an uncertain and changing world. Now, that's something of what we've learned from the verse so far. And I want us today to focus on the second half of the verse. I know whom I have believed. But then he says, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Now, this is wonderful, because Paul is telling us how knowing Jesus Christ is changing his life. And more than that, he's telling us how knowing Jesus Christ can change our lives too. How's that going to happen? Well, it's all in the second half of this verse. Now, here's how I'd like to approach this text. I want you to imagine yourself on the basketball court. And let's just for effect imagine that it is the last minute of the seventh game in the NBA Finals. And you are under big pressure, and at this critical moment, the ball is passed into your hands. And for a split second, you can see an open path all the way to the basket. So you know exactly what you have to do. You have to take 1, 2, 3 steps and get yourself airborne and slam dunk that thing with all of the strength that is in you. Now, for those of us who have never been able to get close to a slam dunk, I am asking you to use your imagination, but you get the picture. What we're going to try and do this morning is to take 3 steps that will get you airborne and bring you to a position of victory that Paul was experiencing in his own life in very, very difficult circumstances. So here we go. Step 1. I have committed everything to Christ. Now, you see what he's saying here, if you look at this text, that Christ is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He's able to guard what I have entrusted. So there has been an act of entrusting on the part of the Apostle Paul. And the question, of course, then is, what has Paul trusted to Christ? And the answer, of course, is his whole self, everything about him. Body, soul, spirit, life, ministry, friends, everything. What I have entrusted to him. I found it helpful to put what Paul says here alongside the verse that we've just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul there says something very similar to what he says to Timothy. He says to the Thessalonians, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, that reminds us that being a Christian involves committing your whole self to Jesus Christ and then Christ keeping what you've committed to him. And Paul says that includes body, soul, and spirit. Let's think about body, which is the easiest one, committing your physical life to God. James Denny, who writes very helpfully on this passage, says that what the apostle prays for is that God would make the body in its entirety, every organ and every function of it, holy. He then says, God made the body at the beginning. He made it for himself, and it is his. To begin with, the body is neither holy nor unholy. It has no character of its own at all. It may therefore be sanctified, or it may be profaned. It may be made a servant of God, or the servant of sin. It may be consecrated, or it may be prostituted. That's James Denny. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, speaks about this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather, he says, offer the parts of your body to Christ as instruments of righteousness. So we're being called as Christians to offer, to entrust our physical capacities into the hands of Jesus Christ. What that means is that I, as best I am able, offer my mouth to him, and that means saying, Jesus, let what I speak be for your glory and the good of others. It means offering my hands, let what I do be for the advance of your kingdom. It means offering my feet. It means saying, Jesus, I am prepared to go any place that you send me, which is a position that all Christians should always be in. It means offering your eyes to Christ. Lord, let me be someone who sees need and is sensitive to it and then ready to reach out into it. It means offering your strength, your capacity to work. It means offering even your capacity for pleasure to Him so that all things, even eating and drinking, for example, are done for the glory of God, that nothing is separated from this overarching purpose of life, that everything that I am physically is offered into His hands. And that's where the Apostle Paul was.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Final Security. It is the final message in our series, One Thing I Know, Christian Confidence in an Uncertain World. And if you had to join us late, have to leave early, or you want to go back and listen again, you can always do that when you visit our website, openthebible.org. You can also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You're going to find that at your app store. That's a great way to stay connected with Pastor Colin's teaching, whatever it fits your schedule. But whether you listen to this program on the app, on the radio, or through our website, I'm glad you're listening today. And I want you to know that we depend on your generosity to make Pastor Colin's teaching available. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Colin has picked out. It is called Psalms by the Day, written by Bible scholar Alec Motier. Again, it's our thank you gift to you for your financial support. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Think about committing your mental, emotional, and spiritual life to God. Now, there's a long-standing debate, as many of you know, about the relationship between soul and spirit. Sometimes they seem to be the same. For example, in Mary's song, do you remember the Magnificat? My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Hebrew parallelism, it looks like they're the same there. Sometimes they seem to be distinct. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Well, if they're like joints and marrow, it's evident that even if they can be distinguished, they are pretty closely bound up together. I've found it helpful to think about soul and spirit as your inner life viewed from two sides. The soul speaks of your inner life in relation to your own experience of it. Your mind, your heart, your will, your imagination, your thoughts, your desires, your passions, your dreams. Your spirit may speak of that same inner life in relation to God, your faith, your love, your hope, your character, your perseverance. Have you committed your mind to God? Lord, here is this mind. Let it think under the authority of your word. What about your imagination, your creativity? Lord, you are the creator. I give the creativity that you have given to me. Let it be used to create that which is good and that which is worthy of you. What about your hopes, your dreams? Now, throughout your life in this world, your body, soul and spirit will be subjected to great strain. You will be tested, you will be tempted, you will face great trials, and sometimes you will wonder, how can I physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually stand up under the pressure of this? How in all the world will my faith survive? Now here's the marvelous truth. What you've committed to Him, He will guard. Isn't that good news? What you've committed to Him, He will guard. What about ministry? Commentators on this letter point out that what Paul committed to the Lord was not just himself, but everything that pertained to his life, his ministry, his teaching, his evangelism, his church planting, His converts. I mean, here is a man who knows that he has only a short time left to live, and he's going to leave behind this legacy of ministry, people who've come to Christ and so forth. And he's in this position where there is so much more that he would like to have done. And how is he to find peace? And he finds peace by committing his ministry into the hands of Christ. It's all come from his hands in the first place. Lord, here is my life's work. I commit it into your hand, knowing that you are able to keep what I have entrusted to you. And don't you think that as Paul prayed for Timothy, the younger man, every day, that Timothy also was included in what Paul committed into the hands of Christ? Timothy, I have committed you into the hands of Christ, and I am convinced that he is able to guard you as he has guarded me. You know, it is a marvelous thing to be able to commit your loved ones into the hands of Christ. To have a son or a daughter who worries you so much, and to lift him and lift her into the hands of Christ is an act of faith. To say, Lord, I'm placing him there. One of the many joys that Karen and I had earlier this year in visiting Hong Kong was coming to know some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful missionaries. One of them, a lady by the name of Diane Lawrence, who served all of her life since she graduated from Moody here. She met her husband at Moody. They went out to serve the Lord in China. She's now in Hong Kong, lifetime of ministry. I believe, as I recall it, they were married around 10 years or something like that. And then he contracted a severe illness and died of it. And she has continued to serve the Lord as a widow ever since. She's now in, I would guess, her 50s. And she said to Karen and I when we were talking, she was recalling the whole experience of her loss and testifying to what Christ has done for her sins. And she said, the last thing he said to me was, I've committed you into the hand of Christ, and he can take much better care of you than I ever could. And she said, I've proved that all these years. Timothy, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Nothing in your hands can ever be secure. Everything in his hands must always be secure. That's the principle. I hope this isn't too trivial, but sometimes a picture makes a serious point. And just thinking about this through the week, my own mind went back to a game that was often played in birthday parties when I was very, very young. I don't know if it's well known here. Pass the parcel. Did you pass the parcel? No, absolute blank expressions. No, not. Okay, I have to explain pass the parcel. There are various rules, but this is how we played it. Okay, a prize, usually a large bar of chocolate or a big bag of candy, was wrapped many times. In fact, wrapped the same number of times as the number of children attending the party. The children all then sit in a circle on the floor. And the music begins to play, and the parcel has to be passed. Now, if you are holding the parcel when the music stops, you are out of the game. And the person next to you gets to take off one wrapper, getting closer to the candy that's inside. So the only way to win the game is to make sure that you are not holding the parcel, right down to the last two when they're desperately trying to get rid of it until the music stops. The picture came back to me. The only way to win the prize is to make sure you're not holding the parcel. Now take that picture. Nothing in your hands can ever be secure. Everything in his hands must always be secure. So the way to victory in your life and in mine is to get as quickly as possible everything out of our hands and into his hands. This thing that I call my family. Into his hands. This thing that I call my ministry, into his hands. This thing that I call my future, into his hands. This thing that I call my life, into his hands. And Paul is able to say, I have committed everything to Christ. Now, can you say that? I mean, what are you holding in your hands that's not yet committed to him? See, here is the first step to freedom and to victory. I have committed everything to Christ. That's step one. Remember, three steps to get airborne. That's step one. Step two, Christ will guard what I've committed to him. Now, this is what we learn from Paul's teaching and from his own experience as well as from our own. Christ will guard what I've committed to him. Listen to what he says. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. Christ is able to guard what you have trusted to him.
Pastor Colin Smith challenging us to ask the question, what am I holding on to that I've not entrusted to Christ? And for some of us, that might be a question that we need to ask over and over again, hourly, if not daily. Well, our message today is called Final Security. It's part of a series called One Thing I Know, Christian Confidence in an Uncertain World. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book written by Bible scholar Alec Motier. It's a hardcover book called Psalms by the Day. And Colin, if we read this book, how would we benefit from reading it?
Well, I expect that folks will often have had the experience of feeling that you've read something from the Bible, but you've really only scratched the surface. And I've found this book to be really helpful in a deeper understanding of the richness of the book of Psalms, which I think is one of the most wonderful books in all of the Bible. Alec Motier is a wonderful Bible teacher and a marvelous and faithful scholar, now with the Lord. He gives his own translation of the Psalms, and that brings out meaning that you might not immediately see just in a first reading of the Psalms in the Scripture. For example, Psalm 1 begins by talking about the blessed man who is planted by rivers of water. And Alec Motier makes the point that that word planted actually has the meaning of transplanted. Now, that opens up a whole new world, doesn't it? I mean, that I've been taken from one place and I've been rooted in another. That is what God in his grace and in his mercy has done for me. He's transplanted me by streams of living water so that even when hard times come, the leaves will not wither. That's beautiful. Well, there's just one example from Psalm 1. There are 150 Psalms, and this book is over 400 pages. It's a beautiful resource, a rich resource that folks will really enjoy. I treasure it, and I'm delighted that we have the opportunity of sharing it this month.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support to Open the Bible. You can visit our website and learn more and give a gift there. The website is openthebible.org. Or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 877-OPEN-365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What will happen if you commit everything in your life to Jesus Christ? Find out next time on Open the Bible.